Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I got to sit down with Stuart Braithwaite of Mogwai, a band that has soundtracked many, many years of my life. And so it was a real privilege to get to sit down and talk to him about records. And I know you're going to enjoy this episode, so I won't waffle on too much and we'll get straight on with it. All I will say is if this is your first time listening to the podcast, please feel free afterwards to go and have a rummage around in the archives, because you'll see over 150 episodes with some amazing musicians, actors, artists, DJs, comedians. Go and have a look. I'm sure there'll be plenty of stuff there that might interest you. And if you want to support the podcast, then I also have a Patreon page where each week I put a standalone episode up there as well. You can find out all about that at offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Just a quick thank you to 76 for producing this podcast, and much love to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Okay, it gives me great pleasure to introduce today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Stuart Braithwaite. Listen up, I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. Sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom is Stuart Braithwaite. Hello.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. Before we get on with working through your playlist today, just curious to know how you've been getting on in lockdown as both a human and a creative. How you been getting on with that?
As a creative person, really well, to be honest. Like, not having much distraction is quite a good thing for getting a lot of stuff done. So yeah, we're getting ready to record. We actually were meant to have been recording in May in America, but obviously that plan had to change. So yeah, we're getting ready to record at the end of this month. So I've done a lot of work with that. The rest of the guys have as well. So we've got enough songs, which is always a good start. And going to get together to rehearse in a week. So yeah, we're in decent shape. So yeah, that's been pretty good. Also done a bunch of remixes for people and even things like today that I might not have been able to fit in if I'd been normally away or very busy with stuff. And as a human, I've been okay. I mean, I've got a dog, so I've had to go out with the dog. So kind of don't feel quite as isolated as maybe some people have been. So yeah, I've been doing okay.
Yeah. I think it's really changed. Like that's been the thing that's kind of kept me pretty sane, I think, taking the dog out. And it's like, what was really weird, I don't know if you've noticed it where you are, but the first sort of couple of weeks of just sort of strolling around, everybody was so starved of that kind of connection and interaction. People like were kind of, which doesn't happen where I live, people were saying hello to you. And it was like, oh, hang on, total strangers are being like friendly. Yeah. This is nice. And I've definitely noticed in the last couple of weeks that started to disappear again now as we're kind of coming out of it. People are going back to being very self-involved and not wanting to sort of communicate with strangers. It's, it's strange. Okay, well, I don't know that your song choices today, so I'm going into this one blind. So I'm interested into knowing what you've chosen, but for track one, Stuart, can I ask you please what you think is the song with the greatest ever intro?
There was quite a few I was kind of thinking about. I thought about this quite seriously, and I was just kind of like thinking about introductions, and then I was actually just listening to this today, so I changed my mind on this today. It's a Six Pack by Black Flag.
Okay, nice.
And it's one of the few songs that I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard it. And it's just got that amazing bass line, the kick drum going along with the bass line, and then the guitar harmonics kind of playing over the top. And I recognise that sound because I was and still am a big fan of Bauhaus. And Daniel Ash does that a lot, always played harmonic kind of sounds on his guitar. So I just remember hearing it. And then obviously the song just goes into kind of overdrive and into this really fast punk song. But I think just as the way it starts, it just set in this kind of really ominous, heavy mood.
Yeah,
it's amazing. But yeah, the other stuff I was thinking about, stuff like Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath, kind of the bell and stuff like that. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Black Flag.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty solid choice you've gone for there. But I want to ask you, Stuart, just in regards to writing music and generally when I speak to musicians, I always ask them this question. And I've been doing this for like nearly 2 years. I never quite get the question out as I want it to sound. And it's just, I'm really curious as to how you, as an artist, approach songwriting and the intro, and has that changed as times have changed in regards to the way that people consume music and listen to music? Whereas maybe when Mogwai first, you know, appeared on the music scene, people were still buying vinyl and CDs, and they wasn't constantly being distracted by things down the side of computer screens saying, "You might like this if you like this. Try this.
Oh, I don't think we've changed at all.
Yeah.
To be honest, we're even when we're making a record, I still kind of think of side A and side B. I think a lot of people that like our music do still buy records. I know we, most people have seen like digital be the most popular way people get their music. And I think with us, it's still physical. So I think the people that like our music probably like that, kind of sitting down and listening to something for an hour or half an hour or whatever. So we've definitely not changed. But I mean, I know some people who make more kind of commercial music, and they are really aware, like, is it like you've got to get to the chorus within 30 seconds? I mean, we're lucky if we get to the second note within 30 seconds.
I knew when I asked you this question, it was probably the wrong person to be asking, because
no, it's still a good question. It's still a good question. But yeah, we're just in complete denial of the modern age.
And it is. And what you said there was the thing that, you know, when I speak to people that maybe write with maybe more sort of pop sensibilities in mind or a pop market in mind, it does seem that has shifted to the fact where literally so many songs now are literally starting with a chorus. It's like just seeing how that has evolved was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's a different world. And I mean, I suppose you are competing with all these things and like like TikTok and these things that just, the very idea of it just gives me a headache, you know, like.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Loads of young people shouting at me in short bursts. It's kind of like, it's my idea of hell.
Oh, brilliant. Stuart, for track two, I want to ask you, what was the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is going to sound kind of hipster, but this is genuinely true. It was Heroin by the Velvet Underground. And I had a guitar teacher. My parents got me a guy who taught me guitar, which I should be very grateful to them for sorting out. And also the guy, Harry, was a brilliant guy. And he did kind of what most guitar teachers do, and it's like teach you songs that are not overly complicated. And I remember him teaching me Heroin by the Velvet Underground and just hearing the song and just being like, oh my God, this is not, I want to hold your hand. This is something much weightier. And I was a kid, so I didn't know anything about drugs. And it wasn't even that I had a connection with the subject or anything, but I just knew there was something a lot bigger than a lot of the music I'd heard at that point. And I don't know, it's such an amazing song. I don't even know if I could even describe the emotion of the song. Yeah. It's just a really powerful song. It kind of has kind of quite druggy, obviously, and this kind of like really heavy, but not more kind of psychedelic heavy than scary or anything like that. So yeah, that was the song that was the first one that I really remember making me realize that there was more to music than just laddie-daddy, fun chorus, dancing around. Like, music could be something a lot more powerful.
That's a fucking cool guitar teacher that's teaching you to play guitar to Heroin by the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, he was. He was a really great guy. And, like, even like, loads of music that I'm still obsessed with. Remember him playing me, like, Search and Destroy by the Stooges. Some other stuff that like Dylan and Bob Marley and just really good records. And he told me a lot about improvisation as well, that you just, as long as you kind of roughly know a few scales and you can kind of express yourself on the spot, which I think is kind of the key to kind of a lot of the music that we make and a lot of the music I love. So yeah, I've definitely owe my big debt.
Wow. It's far more interesting than what I was told, which was probably Ralph McTell and John Denver, I think, was
still good stuff, though.
So whereabouts was you born, Stuart?
I was born in a town called Lanark, in Scotland. Lanark's about half an hour, 40 minutes from Glasgow, kind of in between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Okay. Well, that's going to lead us on nicely to track three, which is the song that soundtracked your time at school.
When I was at school, I kind of thought high school here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I kind of thought high school, primary school. I don't know if I was that aware of music. I don't think I would have even had a Walkman or... I mean, I there was a few bits of music that I liked when I was a child. And a few... Yeah, like I had a Pet Shop Boys tape and an Erasure tape, and I mean, I still really love that music as well. But kind of thinking about high school, I remember my friend giving me a mixtape, which I think his big brother had made, and one of the songs on it was "Feed Me with Your Kiss" by My Bloody Valentine, and I just didn't understand the song at all because by this point I was probably playing the guitar a little bit and kind of understood kind of structures, chord structures. Like most songs are pretty generally verse, chorus, verse, medley, maybe an intro and an outro if it's something a bit more developed. But I remember when I heard that My Bloody Valentine song, I remember just thinking, what the fuck is this? This is, again, a bit like when I heard The Velvet, it's like my little mind's just not quite getting it.
Yeah.
And almost this dissonance of like, I really like this, but I don't know why I like it because I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the coolest things that happens in music. And I mean, it's something that obviously I've been playing music most of my life now. And I generally do understand a lot of music. Obviously there's certain kinds of music that I've not looked at that much and I wouldn't pretend to understand it, but generally I kind of know what people are doing. And when you hear something, then you can't... Well, there's two things that can happen. You can hear it and not understand it and hate it, which does happen, or you can not understand it and love it, and that just know that something's going on that's... a little bit extra. So yeah, I guess my high school years were spent trying to understand what the hell was going on with My Bloody Valentine. And I'm not sure I fully ever have.
I was about to say, I'm 47 and I still don't know how they do that.
Yeah, I still do. I'm still not completely there, but I love it even more than I did then. You know, they're just such a special band and yeah, really, 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 really good band.
So growing up, aside from kind of the influences of, as you said, like a friend's older brother and things like that, was there music on at home growing up?
My parents liked music, but it wasn't their main thing. My dad was a telescope maker and my mum was a GP. So they were busy. They were really busy. And there wasn't a lot of music coming from them. My big sister is probably my biggest influence. She's got really good taste in music, and it was her that first took me to gigs and let me hear a lot of the stuff that I still love. So yeah, that probably kind of got more from my sister than my parents. Although my parents liked folk music though, and I didn't listen to it a lot. Probably because they were busy, but it was the music that they liked. And occasionally I'll hear an old Scottish folk song and it's really, really evocative because it'll really remind me of when I was a kid. So there was always a little bit of folk music around.
And with school, did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed the social aspect of it. I didn't really put much effort in. So I didn't get a lot of qualifications or anything. But yeah, generally I enjoyed it. I'm still really good friends with some of my friends that I went to school, but I've never really been big on kind of structure, discipline, and doing what I'm told or anything like that. So yeah, that was always a bit of a stumbling block.
What did you want to be when you was at school? Did you know?
Not really. I mean, music was always my passion, so that's what I wanted to do, like on a day to day basis, and it just kind of came to be that I managed to just keep doing it. I did a college course. I went to college for a couple of years after school doing music, and then we started the band. So kind of, yeah, I've been very lucky to be able to continue doing what I like for this long.
Okay, well, look, before we move forward, let's keep it around that time and a little before, because for track four, Stuart, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember buying from a record shop.
It was Disintegration by The Cure.
That's a good starting place.
Yeah. I mean, I was really into music before that, but I just hadn't had the inclination to go and actually get something, because my sister had records and it was back in the days of taping records, so like you'd kind of like just turn up with a load of blank cassettes and your pals would record all their Big Brother's albums or Big Sister's albums or whatever. But I remember I was so into The Cure. They were probably my favourite band. And probably still are. Yeah, so and I knew it was coming out, so I wanted it the day it came out.
Do you remember where you bought it?
I don't remember the actual shop. It would have been in Hamilton, which is where my mum worked, which had a couple of record shops back then. Well, yeah, it had two record shops, an independent shop called Impulse and Our Price. And they also sold records back then in Woolworths and John Menzies, which is W.H. Smith's in England.
Yeah. No, there was Menzies in my town.
Oh, was there Menzies as well?
Menzies had the best budget box of records. Like, you'd always be able to have a rummage around in there for some stuff after it.
Yeah, we used to get some great records from Menzies. So, yeah, I don't remember which one of those I would have bought it. I probably would have bought it from the independent one, because we used to talk to the people that worked in there when we were kids. And yeah, I've still got that one, which is pretty good as well. They actually they brought out, because the CD had two extra tracks. It's one of the first albums that had extra tracks on the CD, and they actually brought out it on vinyl with the CD extra tracks a few years ago. So I've got that one too.
Is that your favourite Cure album?
It kind of varies. I think maybe my favourite one might be Pornography, just because it's so singular. But Disintegration is definitely up there. It's probably their best album. I'm not sure if it's my favourite. It's probably their best album, because it has that kind of variety of song on it, the really heavy ones, and then the really great kind of pop songs and the kind of ones in between. It's a really amazing record.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So as Mogwai's career has gone on, how important have independent record shops been for the band?
Huge. Yeah, really huge, and probably even more for our label. You know, we've got our label, Rock Action Records, because with Mogwai, we'll get stocked in HMV and all that kind of stuff. But some of the smaller bands that we work with, being on sale in those places is just, if they're not there, they're nowhere.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not even just there being a place to buy those records, which is obviously really important, but it's also just that kind of network of the people that work in the shops are usually the people that tell people about music. That's how I find about music. Like, I kind of friends with the people that work in Monorail, and I talk to them, and if there's something cool that's come out, they'll tell me about it, and they usually know what kind of thing I like, and I'll buy it. So I think that it's really important for independent record shops to kind of stay part of the music ecosystem.
Completely. For track 5, Stuart, I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing.
Oh yeah, it's by a band called Console, and the song's called 1400. I've never really been. Well, I have had a few years clubbing, but the club that we probably go to the most was a club in Glasgow called Optimal, which used to be on a Sunday night in the Sub Club, which actually started as a cross between a sort of regular club and like regular gig. So like a lot of our friends' bands would play it in the early days, and it just kind of snowballed and snowballed to becoming this really big club night that was always full. We'd play a lot of techno and like a lot of the kind of no wave kind of stuff. I mean, I guess Optimal was a liquid song, so that kind of thing, but also a lot of new music. I remember seeing Peaches play there when she was first coming out. It's just been one of the most amazing gigs I've ever seen. And yeah, that Console song, it's just one that I always think about from that night. It's got like a vocoder vocal, and it's one of the ones they would always play. So yeah, that's my song.
I've not heard it. I've not heard.
Yeah,
is it? Do you know if it's on Spotify?
I think Matador put the record out. So actually, weirdly, I'd a lot of the songs they would play were like late 70s or early 80s songs.
Yeah.
But this was actually relatively contemporary. I see it. Yes.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yes.
It was
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so I'll put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast. Totally. So I'll stick that on there. Fantastic. Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is, the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track Podcast, and you can listen to all the songs, because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. So, John, I'm going to ask you, when you was going out, you know, in your formative years, like what did you want from clubbing?
I don't know. I mean, I guess with that club, I would probably want to hear a lot of music that I hadn't heard. Like Keith and Johnny, the DJs, are really big music experts and have really good taste. But I don't know if they know this, but John Peel was actually, they did a mix for the John Peel show, and it was his favourite ever mix. And he was buried with it, which is pretty incredible. I would want to hear the records, and you'd always hear something you didn't know. Still do. I mean, they still DJ a lot and do a lot of stuff online. So yeah, I'm always really interested. We've got a label too, Optimal Music, which puts out great records too. So yeah, they've been a big part of the Glasgow music scene and kind of turning people on to like really, really cool records for a long time.
Okay. Track 6. Favourite song from an artist from your home county?
Oh, home country. I thought it said country.
It's so harsh, Joe. Everybody says that. I really need to put that in block capitals. Everyone says it. Don't worry.
Okay, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to change because actually I was going to go for someone who's definitely not from my home county. Okay.
If you want to go Scotland, Scotland's cool, man.
No. I want to stick to the rules. Okay. Well, my home county is Lanarkshire. I'll go with a song by the Yummy Fur, who are a band from Blantyre, which is pretty close to where I'm from. What song will I go with? I'll maybe go for Supermarket. Yeah. They're this really great band that kind of came out around the same time as us, quite kind of fall Brian Eno influenced. And they go back together again. Paul, the drummer, is in Franz Ferdinand, and John, the singer, had another band as well, and called the 1990s. And they're always a really good band.
They were quite successful, weren't they, in the 1990s?
Yeah, they did pretty well. Hmm. Yeah, they did pretty well. And obviously, Franz Ferdinand are still doing great. So, we put a compilation by them last year. And I think they're going to make a new record as well, which is pretty exciting.
I mean, from what I've seen in documentaries and what I've experienced speaking to musicians that have kind of grown up and played in Glasgow, is it as sort of close as we're led to believe? Is that community of Glaswegian musicians as tight as we're exposed to down here? I look, and every documentary I see, it just looks like it's a real gang, and a community.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the only place I'm from, so it's hard to completely compare. But yeah, I mean, I always kind of thought it was maybe because there was only a handful of pubs you would want to go in, because you'd be kind of scared to go in a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, no, I think there is a bit of a community, and people kind of definitely try and help each other out. And are generally really supportive. And I think that kind of goes between generations as well, you know, when we were starting, like, people a bit older, like older than us, like the Pastels Teenage Fan Club would be really supportive. And I'd like to think we and bands of our generation try to be to the ones that are younger than us. So I think it definitely does work like that.
Did you work with Fan Club early doors?
Brendan, who played with Teenage Fan Club, played with us for a little bit. So yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Brendan now lives in Essex.
He does. Yeah, he does. Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whereabouts. I don't know Essex too well.
He lives about 15 minutes down the road from me. He lives in Leon C, which is a really lovely little place.
If you see him, say hi. He's a very, very entertaining man. Never a dull moment with Brendan around. He's a really good guy. So,
Were Fan Club a big influence on your early doors?
Yeah. Especially the first album.
Yeah.
Everything Flows is one of my favourite singles. And even beyond the music, just knowing that someone from the same kind of background as you had managed to kind of make albums and play all over the world. I mean, that kind of inspiration goes so far, you know, just seeing yourself in someone else. I think that that's so important. And taking that subject a little bit to the side, but I think that's why representation is so important, you know, why it's kind of so ridiculous that you have these festivals that are like 95% men, because what are women that are going to that thinking? They're not thinking, oh, I could do that, because the evidence in front of them is you can't do that. So I think that that's something that really needs to change.
Couldn't agree more. Final track, so you get to play DJ now. I'm going to ask you for a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
This song, I mean, it's not the most obscure thing of all time, but it was probably the from the record I listened to more than anything else last year by Purple Mountains, and the song is Margaritas at the Mall. It was the band Dave Berman from Silver Jews put together and put the album out last year. Sadly, he died, which was really, really heartbreaking. But yeah, it's one of my favourite records, and I'd recommend it to anyone.
Did you hear the track that First Aid Kit wrote about him?
No, I didn't. No. Oh,
that's a beautiful piece of music.
Oh, yeah, I'll check out. Do you know what it's called?
Oh, God.
I can Google it. I'll find
it
out.
Yeah, yeah. What a loss, man. That was, yeah. So when this kind of lockdown subsides some more and we start to kind of reintroduce ourselves into some weird, new, strange normality, what's coming up, Stuart?
Well, we're going to record, so we're going to make a record. I don't know when we're going to go on tour.
You missing playing?
Yes, hugely. I really am. We're actually putting out a live record tomorrow on Bandcamp, and I was listening back to it and getting kind of emotional just thinking about this experience that you take for granted.
Yeah.
But when it's not there, it's like kind of feels like you're missing a limb or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not sure when it's going to be. Certainly wouldn't want to do it until everyone feels comfortable with it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, we're kind of getting to the point in our career where we're not playing every couple of months. So you don't want to play until everyone who wants to can go. So yeah, it's hard to make plans on that front, but yeah, just keep making music. That's our plan. Just keep making music and then be as ready as possible to go and start deafening people and again as soon as we're allowed.
Definitely. Stuart, I've been a huge fan of your music for many years, and so it's been a real privilege to sit and chat records with you today. Thanks so much for your time, mate.
Thank you too. All the best, man. Cheers. See you later.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. It's weird when you get to the end of like podcasts and you just you feel the need to just go, I really like your music. You know, I don't know if that makes artists feel uncomfortable sometimes or if it's weird, but I don't know. I just think you only sort of get these opportunities to sit and talk records with, you know, with artists, you know, like Stu and so many of the other guests that, you know, that I've spent so many years listening to. And yeah, hope it didn't sound too weird, you know, me having to say at the end, really like your band. I hope you enjoyed that chat. It was so much fun to do. As mentioned at the beginning, if you do enjoy this, then there's so many other episodes available in the back catalogue. So go and have a root around in the vaults and see if you can find anything you like. I'm sure you will. There's over 150 episodes with some amazing musicians and producers and DJs and actors and actresses and everything. Go and have a look. offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Right, I'm back next week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Thanks once again to Stuart for giving up his time. And take care and see you soon. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.